Announcing a technological breakthrough of incredible proportions. The new Apple IIc. With over 10,000 programs, it can do almost anything for almost anyone. And absolutely anyone can take it absolutely anywhere for under $1,300. The new Apple IIc.
Hello!
Yeah, it's awesome intro.
Can't hit those high notes anymore.
I'm getting old and gruff. I can't hit them. Let's try again. Hello, and welcome to the podcast, the best 30-plus minute off conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. Join me today. He was shocked when WWDC security told him his six-pack of Stella and brass knuckles would not be allowed in the theater. Leander Cady is here.
I know, they confiscated him.
Can you believe those guys? Unreal.
What kind of show is that?
Also with us, his horse whip is still warm from all the quote-unquote motivating he had to do with the Cult of Mac writers to get in their keynote coverage stories. Lewis Wallace is here.
Hey, yeah, gosh, my hands are blistered
so you got
and
a
raw.
Sore wrist.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's right. Did you see the coverage on the site? Whew. You got the job done.
So much stuff.
So much good stuff. And that's what we're here to talk about this episode. This is going to be our WWDC reactions episode. And not only are we going to give you our reactions to the event itself, which I actually thought was, spoiler alert, quite a good event, but we're going to talk about our favorite features that were announced at WWDC at the keynote. These could be iOS features. These could be macOS features. Hell, I'll even take a tvOS feature if you guys got one of those.
Yeah.
I think there was only one total.
One of my picks was a tvOS feature.
Okay, great. Well, it's easy to guess which one that is. So, spoiler alert, we already know Leander's picking. And we'll toss in a few watchOS picks. You know, we're going to have a little bit of everything sprinkled all throughout this show because there's just no way to cover it all. I mean, how long was the keynote? Wasn't it? It was like a Peter Jackson extended edition Lord of the Rings. I was like, right. I got to go pee, guys, please.
Yeah, it was 2 hours.
It was just over 2 hours. I think it was 2 hours and 10 minutes, wasn't it?
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, it was insane. I couldn't believe how long it went. But before we hop into the feel of the room, because Leander was there, as many of you know, Leander was in the room. Let me go ahead and say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Now with three mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry, even very shapely men like Lewis Wallace. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool. Am I the only one that thought that was funny? And regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how in the heck did they do that, sized box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping, and Casper wants you to be comfortable. Here's what you can do. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast, casper.com/cultcast. Take a look at what they have to offer. Read the reviews. They have lots of reviews on casper.com. When you're ready to make a purchase, you can use code cultcast at checkout at casper.com/cultcast. The code cultcast will get you $50 towards select mattress purchases at casper.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, Leander.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the room. What's it like? You're surrounded by celebrities. The typing is happening all around you. You're sweating like a pig. You feel like you're going to hurl. So first, you weren't feeling very good, but were a trooper.
Yeah, that was the thing. Yeah, I got a really bad cold. So
when did you know you were starting to get sick?
Over the weekend, but driving that down there Monday morning. I tried to leave early. They wanted us there to check in like at 8:30, even though it didn't start till 10. So, and I thought the parking was going to be bad. So, I left at 7, thinking I'd get there at 8, give me half an hour to find park and then check in. But of course, going down from San Francisco to San Jose, it's only like on a good day, it's a 45, 50 minute drive. But the traffic was awful.
Oh, and you're sick.
and I'm sick. And, you know, by the time I get there, I'm kind of like, I'm running late and I'm all fried and I've got all this equipment. I took like two cameras, including this giant Canon camera with a big zoom lens. And then,
oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. Those are heavy.
Yeah. And I got a monopod, so I could try and get some good shots, you know, the keynote.
Yeah.
You know, I get down there and there's a huge line outside. It's a really big auditorium. It sits like 6,000 people. And luckily for the press line, there was a smaller press corral. So, and you get, you know, more or less pushed to the front. And they put the press sort of front and center.
Ooh.
Actually, in the sort of middle center. And there was a section for the press there.
Mm-hmm.
And because when I sit down, I'm kind of sweating because I'm feverish.
Jeez.
And it's like, you know, have you seen Death in Venice? You know, the guy in Death in Venice when he's dying at the end, you know, he's sitting out, he's trying to sunbathe on the beach, and he's just sitting there in a big puddle of sweat. That's what
he's very
like.
Pale and just dripping.
Luckily, there was no one next to me on the right-hand side. But then, initially, Horace Didier, the analyst from Asimco, he came and sat down next to me.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Did he put his shirt up over his nose and mouth when he saw you?
Yeah, like a bandit, like a cowboy. Well, luckily, you know, but then the Wi-Fi wasn't working. The Wi-Fi wasn't letting anyone connect. And so then people were starting to try to tether their phones. But, of course, everyone else was tethering, you know, from their phones. So there was no connection at all in the room, except initially. And I managed to send a couple of messages to Lewis, like, you know, hey, this isn't working. But so I tried for like half an hour, that I'm or 40 minutes, we're sitting there to try to get a connection. And I tried all these different... you know, there was like three different Wi-Fi open networks, WWDC this, WWDC Labs, some other weird one, and that none of them would work. And then I tried tethering to my phone, and that wouldn't work. And of course, I felt like a dope. I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is not my first rodeo. You know, like connection problems, are something that, you know, you normally, well, prepare for, right? And so in the past, I've bought like a hotspot. Oh, a couple of hotspots. I've got
a keynote. But
those
work any differently than your phone? I mean, those do the same thing as your phone does?
They do, but, you know, like, if you're lucky, you know, you can get on someone's network will work.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I've in the past, I've had one that, you know, was on Sprint and then another one that was on, like, Verizon. So, you know, I've got two there, and usually one will work. But, you know, and because in years past there haven't been complaints about Apple's, you know, like last year there was no problem with the Wi-Fi. It worked, apparently, I guess.
But it was a smaller auditorium, wasn't it, last year?
I don't know because I didn't go to that one. But
okay.
I'm guessing it was in the same place, you know, because it was held at the same convention center in San Jose.
Huh.
Anyway, so I'm sat there and then I thought, oh, you know, I try and getting more and more peed off. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, at least I brought my camera. I can take some pictures. So I get it out. And the thing's huge. You know, it weighs about 15 pounds.
And the monopod and everything. It's
the
a
monopod.
Big setup.
And I start screwing it together. And I notice that the battery compartment is hanging open.
Uh-huh.
And I look at it and there's no battery. And I'm like, oh, no. I left it to charge up last night, you know. Because sort of feverish and not thinking straight.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, oh, man. What a disaster. So I just sat there for 2 hours, like taking notes on my
Well, that's kind of what you wanted to do, isn't it? You just wanted to hang out.
Well,
you
I
got
wanted
your
to,
wish.
I want, yeah, right. That's true enough. But it was like, you know, what good is this? And so then I went out and I talked to a couple of people. And I felt so dreadful. I just had to go home. Like,
you probably infected the entire circle around you. You're coughing. People are wondering if they should dial 911. They're like, I think this guy has Ebola or something. He really doesn't look good.
Right. So then I went home and had like a 2 hour nap and I slept till about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And then I guess got worse. I felt dreadful the next day. I felt terrible today.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, how was the keynote? What did you think of it? I really liked it. I came away very satisfied. It was a very slow burn, and yes, there was no hardware, but overall, I was impressed by all the small things packed into the keynote, and I came away from it thinking, I'm excited to use all the software and the features that they announced. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I echo it, too. Like, at the time, I'm sitting there, and I'm seeing all this sort of, like, small bean stuff, you know, small potatoes, you know, Memojis and small enhancements, you know, like, where's the big stuff? Where's the big sort of show-stopping stuff? And I think some of the stuff, you know, was kind of weird. That they included, you know, the first thing they're talking about is, you know, like how it runs better on old devices. But I think that clearly was, you know, a recognition of that scandal about clocking, downgrading older phones, you know, because of battery problems and stuff like that. So, you know, in fact, you know, the whole thing, I think they were very conscious of a number of things, got, you know, bigger sort of stuff that's going on in the wider tech world, like all the shade they threw at Google and Facebook and all the, you know, the privacy stuff they put in there. You know, but anyway, you know, I sitting there at the time, it was like, okay, you know, this is kind of, this isn't really huge and this isn't really huge. But afterwards, when I had a chance to digest it and read some of the stuff that was written about it, you know, it does add up to a whole parcel of stuff that is really pretty great. I mean, that's what their strength is, isn't it? Every year. Like, you know, one of the first things they said with them, they showed like how many users had upgraded to iOS 11, and they were making fun of Android because, you know, the latest version of Android is running at about 6% of, you know, Android devices.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's what, 80 something, 85, 90, nearly 90%? No, in the mid 80s, I think, for iOS 11.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is kind of remarkable that they do all this stuff and they keep all these devices. Like, if you look at iOS 12 compatibility, like on the iPad, I mean, it's compatible with, I think, about a dozen different iPads, going all the way back to like the original iPad Air.
Wow.
Which is what, like, you know, I think that was like the third generation iPad. So going back, you know, quite a few years now, I mean, that's pretty awesome that, you know, the latest software runs on even some of their earliest devices.
You know what else I thought was cool? They did a really good job this year at building a sense of community. I'm not even a developer, but I felt like I wanted to be a developer after WWDC, right? They built that developer community. They made their developers feel special. They made them feel like they were contributing and building things that people were using and enjoying. Yeah. And the videos they had this year were funny and heartwarming. And they made you feel cool to be an Apple developer. Lewis, did you have any thoughts on it?
Thoughts? Me? Yeah. Thoughts?
I like cheese.
Yeah. God, you are a mind reader. I love cheese. Well, yeah, I mean, I was actually thinking about the whole thing with the performance and stability and stuff. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I mean, in the past, I kind of complained, like, you know, since it's this giant blitz of new stuff, you know, I think it's kind of cool that they took a kind of a year off to make stuff work better. And it's really smart. I mean, what do you want more than anything? You want your phone to work faster and better. To me, that's just awesome.
And it makes people that aren't buying a new phone feel like they're getting a new phone every year.
Yeah, right.
Because you are. You're getting a whole new OS. It's going to have all these new capabilities. You're going to be able to do all these new things that you couldn't do before. And you're not spending a dime.
Yeah,
Who else does that? I don't think anyone else out there does it as well. At least Apple.
That's definitely true. No one does it as well. And I think it's unfair, you know, when people accuse Apple of, like, you know, planned obsolescence and they're forcing users to upgrade. I mean, it's never been true. But, of course, it reared its ugly head again, you know, earlier this year with that whole battery scandal. But this, I think, clearly demonstrates that they care more about loyalty and keeping a customer for life. And like you said, I think it is awesome that they're doing this, that you know, it actually improves an older device.
Did you guys also notice, maybe it was just me, how low Craig Federighi's shirt was unbuttoned? It was like three buttons from the top. You could see his chest hair coming out. And I was like, who's up there? Is that Buster Heine? I couldn't believe what was going up there. No one even said anything. No one addressed it. It was just this thing that was happening. But it was the elephant in the room. I'm sure I wasn't the only one that noticed.
Jeez. Well, couldn't take my eyes off his hair.
Which set? He was showing off all of it. His eyebrows were looking good. He clearly brushes those. And his chest hair, it definitely had some type of product. I don't know if it was like LA Looks or some like mousse or something, but there was something in there. It looks shiny. What were you going to say, Leander?
Well, you know, talking to presenters, I mean, I noticed how many women presenters they had. I mean, it was like six, wasn't it? It was six women or
it
five women?
It felt like it was half of like the team that was presenting were women.
It was more. It was all women, yeah, all from Apple anyway.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They brought out some guy from Adobe. They brought out some guy from Lego. And then, of course, it was like the Craig show. He was the main presenter. But every time he handed off to someone, it was a woman. And they were all in management positions. I mean, they were all in leadership positions. You know, there was the woman who headed up, I'm still feverish. I can't think straight. But, you know, that was one thing I noticed. It was like, you know, they weren't token women,
right?
You know, they were the women who were heading up the teams for each of the different products. And it was like, and I know from, you know, doing the research for this Tim Cook book, that Apple's really making a big change internally, mm-hmm. a big push internally, you know, to, for more inclusion and diversity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the numbers aren't great. They've still got a long way to go. But this, I think, was evidence of that, you know, bearing fruit. And I think this is something that Tim Cook's very passionate and involved in as well. Now, I thought it was kind of heartening. You know, it's nice to see, you know, it's good to have women up there on stage, because I think it's real important to have that representation, you know, for girls who want to go study computer science, or, you know, are in school and, you know, are thinking about a college career, to see someone like that, you know, up on stage, it's inclusive and it shows, you know, they're role models for girls and women coming up.
Yeah, and it might make, you know, more women want to pursue a career in technology and, yeah. you know, and maybe become a programmer or something. So
right, yeah, totally.
All righty, so let's move on to our favorite features announced at the keynote. There was so much stuff. I was going through lists of features, and these are just the features they announced. We have a whole other set of features that they didn't announce that we're going to try to work in today, but I don't think we're going to have time to do it. And if we don't, we'll move it to next week. But these are just the things they announced at WWDC. There was so much great stuff packed in. I mean, just one little gem after another. One little ooh, one little ah, one little oh, I would use that. One little oh, okay, I can't wait to get my hands on that. And then they would just move on. You know, it's just one thing after another. Leander, do you want to kick us off with your first one that you thought, ooh, yeah, I would definitely use this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not really sure I agree with you. Like, you know, it was one thing after another going, ooh, I'm definitely going to use that. A lot of it was like, I'm probably not going to use that.
of course. You're like, oh, that sucks. Total shite. What is this?
Well, no, I can see the utility of it. Like all that stuff about, you know, the device management, you know, do not disturb. Uh-huh. And also, you know, monitoring how much you use your phone. I mean, I know I use my phone too much. I mean, what I want that, you know.
You don't think you do?
Well, no, I do. And I know that, and I don't really care, you know.
Oh.
But anyway, you know, like monitoring the kids and stuff like that. I don't do that kind of stuff. And I'm sort of philosophically opposed to it. But the one thing that was like, oh, man, I can't wait for to use that, was walkie-talkie on the watch. Like you can press a button on the watch and you can initiate an instant conversation mm-hmm. with somebody with a watch running a watch OS 5 as well. And I thought, well, if my wife wore the watch, you know, I gave her a watch and she just, you know, she couldn't get the hang of charging it all the time.
That's pretty tough.
Huh? Yeah, it's very difficult.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's a habit, right? You know, and she doesn't have the best charging habits anyway, like with her phone. Like, her phone's always, like, running out. So she takes a brick with her. But that's going to be more difficult.
I will never understand that. Yeah. She's an artist.
She's kind of interested in the watch, you know, because she's doing more exercising and uh-huh. listens to podcasts and stuff like that. So uh-huh. I actually uh-huh. think the watch would be really useful for her. But she's not like, you know, she's not a technophile. She doesn't want to jump right in. It's going to be kind of like, she hated the iPhone when it first came out. She thought it was quote unquote stupid. This is like,
did you say the iPhone or the iPad?
Yeah, this is the original iPhone. She hated it.
Clearly right. Her and Steve Ballmer, they got that one right.
Yeah, nailed it.
Well, now, you know, but now, of course, she can't. She lives on her phone, right? You know, the thing is, like, she's a cybernetic organism with her phone.
Yeah.
But, I think that would be totally
the walkie-talkie
mode. Yeah, the walkie-talkie thing.
My only problem with that is I don't know anyone else that uses an Apple Watch. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that feature. I have it on my list as well. I thought, that looks really cool. They absolutely need to bring this to the iPhone, because the only way I'm ever going to be able to use this feature is if they bring it to the iPhone. And by the way, why would you not bring this to the iPhone? This makes as much sense on an iPhone as it does on an Apple Watch, I think.
True enough.
That way I can set up walkie-talkie mode with you, and then anytime you're in your office, I can just, you know, keep talking to you throughout the day. How does that sound, Leander?
That sounds fantastic.
You just turn the volume all the way up, you know, so you hear me, you know? I promise not to be too loud when you're taking your nap at your desk. Okay, let's see here. Well, unlike Leander, one of my top features that I was most excited about was the Screen Time app. And the Screen Time app lets you see exactly how much time you're spending on your phone and what you're using on your phone and how you're using it. It'll also tell you how often you're using an app and how many hours you spend inside each app. It will also show you how many times you're picking up your phone. That just sounds like useful information. And the part of the Screen Time stuff that I didn't really think was that useful is the the limits. I mean, who honestly is going to set a limit on their phone and say, okay, iPhone, only let me use Twitter for 1 hour a day? No one is ever going
to
do that.
I don't know. I disagree. I think a lot of people would use that, to be honest.
You just said you thought it was dumb.
Well, for me personally, like okay. I personally am not going to use this stuff, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. But the one feature that I think is useful is exactly that, is like to set yourself a limit on something. Because, you know, like you're sitting there, you're procrastinating, right? You know, like I know this was, right, you know, we're trying to write a book.
Yeah.
You know, I spent so much time piddling about, you know, thinking about it, but not actually doing anything. I'm like, oh, let's go check Twitter for a minute, you know, and see what's going on. And then I get that, go down a Twitter rabbit hole.
Oh, yeah.
and, you know, one of the a popular category of apps on the Mac are those, you know, concentration apps, you know, that cut it out, right, mm-hmm. for a period. And so I can totally see that working pretty well. People liking that feature on the phone.
The app looks powerful, too. It will show you which apps you're using the most, which category of apps you're using the most, like if it's entertainment or if it's social media. These look very, very well thought out. And of course, you get those weekly reports that they talked about that show you with all these graphs and everything exactly what you're doing on your phone. I just think it looks interesting. I have no idea. I really cannot tell you why I'm excited about this. I don't even know if it's going to change my behavior in any way. I just like the idea of measurable data that shows you exactly what you're doing on your phone. And maybe it will motivate me to use my phone less. I don't think so. I just want to know what I'm doing. Oh, I mean, it's actually a badge of pride for me. I'm like, ooh, I spent 7 hours on Twitter today. Nice. Tomorrow I'm going for 8. I only picked up my phone 400 times today. Oh man, I could do better than that tomorrow. And then the other thing that I liked, because I'm more fascistic than Leander apparently, is the child controls. And this looked like a game changer to me. I mean, so you can now, in this app, view how much your kids are using their devices, the apps that they're using, how much time that they're spending in those apps. And then from your device, you can set limits on when they can use their phone, which apps they can use, how much they could use those apps. I think that's pretty powerful because a lot of kids have absolutely no self-control at all. And you give them a phone. Yeah. Well, yeah, but they're controllable when they're kids. Once they're adults, they're on their own. But I wouldn't want my kids to be using their phones 5 hours a day, for example. You know, I want it to be limited, and I want to know what's going on in the phone. I think phones they're like cars. They have to be used responsibly, and there's so much terrible, terrible stuff on the internet out there that you just don't want kids exposed to, especially at young ages. I want to be able to know exactly what's happening. And I think a lot of parents are in my same boat. Leander, your parents, your kids are older. There's no controlling them now. They're wild and free. They're going to do whatever they want. At this point, you don't want to know what they're doing on their phones.
Even when they're growing up, when I said I was philosophically opposed to this sort of stuff, yeah. I don't know if it's really that good. I think it's kind of counterproductive. You see, you know, like I think if parents are a little bit, you know, helicopter parenting is a big problem, you know, here, especially here in California. You know, you see it all the time, people hovering over their kids and they're terrified. It's like taking the kids to the playground. You know, the kids, if you don't let the kids, you know, climb up on the climbing frame, and occasionally they're going to fall, then they're not going to learn how to, you know, climb on a climbing frame. I think it's better for them to learn on, you know, how to climb and to be, you know, how to what their limits are, you know, yeah. to learn for themselves. Of course, you know, I'm not totally neglectful. I wasn't sitting there, you know, on my phone ignoring the kids, but I was letting the kids, you know, push the boundaries a little. And I think the same was true with technology. You know, I don't know if it's really, I think it's better for them to learn a little bit on their own without you watching over their shoulders, you know, what's good and what's not. Like, you know, I've definitely given them a lot of coaching, and I've told them, you know, things about, security and, you know, like my daughter's very, very savvy. She's actually much smarter than I am about what she shares on social media and how she manages it. You know, like she's truly an expert. Mm-hmm. She knows exactly what's good on Facebook, what's good on, you know, Snapchat, what's good on what, you know, that's why she likes those apps where the stuff disappears. And she's very, very conscious and very, very savvy. And I don't think she learned this herself, and she's better than me. She, you know, by definition, she would not have learned that from me. Mm-hmm. Because I was no good at it. You know, like if I was uptight and I was trying to control what she was watching, what she was seeing, she never would have learned that for herself. I think it's more important that she learns the stuff for herself, you know, than, and you sort of, you have to trust your kids. The thing with kids is that you want to coach them. You want to give them some support, but they have to be independent. And I don't like the idea of, you know, looking over my kids' shoulders all the time and telling them you can't do this and you can't do that and being too controlling. I think that comes back, you know, and comes back to haunt you in the end, because
When they go crazy in college.
Yeah, and or they become rebellious, you know, they want to push away from you. So it's a parenting strategy, you know. I was never, you know, and my wife was like this too, you know. We were never really that, you know, we never really were that controlling about what the kids could and could not do. With technology, which I know is like a lot of people would argue with me about this, but I thought it was better for them to learn for themselves.
Yeah, I could argue with you, but I want to hear what Lewis's pick is. Lewis, what do you got for us?
well, that screen time thing, I just want to say I thought that was kind of interesting. And the parallel that I find is it reminds me of like these calorie counting apps, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it stops you from using it. It's that it opens your eyes about what exactly you're doing. And
right.
Knowing that I spent, you know, 4 hours staring at Twitter would be a kind of a wake-up call. I don't think that's going to happen because I don't spend much time on Twitter. But anyway, I'm excited to see about that stuff. As for what got me excited, I thought group FaceTime looked pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Pretty excited about that. I can think of all kinds of ways that that'll be handy. I mean, anything that makes these sort of, you know, working remotely situations go more smoothly is awesome. And I mean, I haven't tried using that yet, but the demo looked pretty awesome. Looked pretty pretty slick.
You could have those darn accordions in one FaceTime call,
right,
with Weird Al and Drew Carey all in the same call.
Yeah, I guess we should tell people what it is. I mean, it's you're going to be able to have up to 32 people in one time in a FaceTime chat, and as you know, person A starts talking, their picture or you know whatever, it could even be like, I guess it could be one of those new and emojis, right? Or they got all kind of filters and crap in there too, which I, you know, that part I don't think is going to be that applicable to my life, but
no,
probably not. But okay. You know, it looked pretty powerful, and it looked like it was. I know there are other apps kind of like this, but I mean, you compare that to like a Skype call or something. I mean, it just looks way better.
I like it when Apple bakes this stuff in too, so you don't have to go out and get another app and then make everyone go download the same app. I mean, the people I'm communicating with, they're not so savvy. They need to have these tools built into the OS.
You know, that is a great point. I can't tell you how many times I get a meeting request, and it's like, oh, it's using, you know, Hufflebuffle. You know, it's like, oh,
you don't
great.
Like Hufflebuffle?
Let me just go download that thing, or, you know, sign in for an account.
Yeah.
I know. It's just like, good God, can we please just pick one?
I'm to quote one Mr. Roger Murtaugh, I'm getting too old for this. I don't need another account. I don't need another social media account. I'm not trying to create a whole other account here and import my users there. I just want to use the tools that I already have and be productive using those tools.
Yeah.
Does that make me sound old and crusty? I mean, I'm only 22, so I'm not old and crusty.
It seems like so many of those kind of things are just kind of flavor of the month too, you know, like, okay, now suddenly everybody's using this other one. And, you know, 3 months later, oh no, nobody would ever use that. We're all using this. And it's like,
that's exactly what happens.
It just
drives me one
crazy.
Thing after another. Yeah. And you're constantly being pushed to sign up for new accounts. Okay. Well, I got to bring this one up because this was probably at the very top of my list. I should have actually mentioned this first, and that was Siri shortcuts. So let me just give a brief synopsis of what it is. I'm sure you all know, but I'll say it anyway for those that didn't watch the keynote. Siri shortcuts is like Automator for Siri. So I think Siri works best when you ask it for something specific. You know, you have a specific command. What's the weather today? I can't think of anything else. What's the weather today? How old is Danny Glover? You know, those kinds of questions.
I'm sorry.
Well,
I can't answer.
Well, that's usually the answer I get back. Right. And that will probably continue to be the answer I get back. But that's besides the point. So Siri shortcuts allows you to create your own series of actions and then link those actions to a specific Siri command. So you could say, Siri, I'm home, and your heat will come on, your lights will turn on, your garage door will open. You know, all these things are executed based on the commands that you set. I thought, out of all the things I saw during the keynote, this looks like something that is the most practical that I might actually use in my everyday life. And I know, Lewis, you and I actually use HomeKit, a lot of HomeKit accessories. So the idea of being able to create our own custom chain commands and then link those to one Siri command, I thought looked really interesting. What did you think?
Yeah, I did think that looked good. And it's, I mean, some of the stuff you already do with HomeKit, right? So it's a little bit, it's not all that clear to me exactly how different it would be. But I mean, I guess the point is like it works across all platforms. So you say, mm-hmm. hey, I'm heading home, and it, like what they say, it like loads your podcast app and the podcast you like to listen to on your commute. And when you get home, you say, I'm home, and it turns on your light and your AC or whatever. I mean, I think that stuff is cool. And I do use that stuff in HomeKit already. And I've set up some other things in the workflow app once in a while that, mm-hmm. but you know, the problem is like, I don't know. I wonder how easy it's going to be to set up and how much utility people are going to get out of it. And, you know, just how many people will actually take the time to do it. To some extent, I suppose it depends on how smart Siri is at like helping you come up with those things. I mean, did they even address that? Like, is it going to suggest things like, hey, we noticed every day at 5:30 you start to head here, and wouldn't it be great if you did this? And I mean, if they could do that, that would really be powerful.
It's not a bad suggestion. I don't think from the get-go it's going to suggest routines. I didn't catch that part if they did mention it.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be. And there's so much AI built in now that maybe it will start to notice those things and say, "Hey, do you want to build a workflow, a Siri shortcut workflow from based on this?" Because every day you come home, you open up the fridge, you pound five or six Stella Artois, Leanderkini. Do you want us to make those icy frosty for you? Open those up with your HomeKit bottle opener. You're like, I sure do. Thank you, Siri. Okay, Leander, I want to hear yours, but I got to interrupt real fast and say thank you to LinkedIn for supporting this episode. Leander, this one's for you. Did you know a business is only as strong as its people and every hire matters?
Yeah.
He's like, tell me about it. He's like, oh, no. So you don't want to settle for posting and hoping the right person will find the role and apply, Leander. You need to find better people. You need to choose LinkedIn. You've already got the best. So actually, maybe this doesn't apply to you. You already got the best people staffed there. But these are for others that are still looking for the best people. LinkedIn is more than the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. Think about it. How often do you check job boards? For most people, it's an occasional thing, but there is a place where people go daily to grow professionally, and that is LinkedIn. 70%, get this, 70% of the U.S. workforce is already on LinkedIn, and 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every week in every industry. Just ask any of the hundreds of thousands of businesses who have posted to LinkedIn jobs over the past year. They rate LinkedIn jobs 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates because LinkedIn considers things like skill, experiences, location, and much more to match and promote your job to potential candidates. If you're not using LinkedIn for your hiring needs, you are missing out. You're not going to be able to build your own crack team like Colt and Mac. Here's what you need to do. Head on over to LinkedIn.com/Coltcast and get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/Coltcast for $50 in credit today. Terms and conditions do apply. Leander Caney, what's your next pick? Go.
caught me off there.
You had like 90 seconds to think about it. Yeah, no, my read was so engaging, right?
I zoned out a little bit.
You're like, actually, I do need better. You're listening to me do that, and you're like, I clearly do need to work with better people.
He's logging into LinkedIn.
Yeah, he's logging in right this moment. He's like, what was that code again?
there was a whole bunch of, like, I was playing around with photo search this morning. And music search, like, they've improved the search on iOS 12.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want to know as well, it's like, you know, I want to say, you know, every year I have faced this dilemma, you know, should I download the betas? Or not, because, you know, in the past, it's come back to bite me. I put a beta on my main machine. And a couple of times, you know, I had betas running on my computers and on my phones. And then, you know, of course, none of them work, right? So,
and, of course, you install them right before we record, so you don't know if it's actually going to work.
As you mentioned that, I've got the iOS 12 beta installer right here, ready to go, ready to install.
I'm surprised it took you this long.
Click restart. And I was about to do it about 20 minutes before we recorded the show, and I thought, that's probably not a good idea. Can I wait until afterwards? I'm dying to click it any minute now. But
Is it on your Mac?
Yeah,
right here. Oh, thank God you didn't do it.
Right here in front of me. Oh, but I've already upgraded my MacBook and my iPad and my iPhone.
Of course.
There were so many reports of people saying, oh, yeah, it's rock solid, you know, because they're focusing on performance and stability this year. You know, there's this kind of consensus that it's stable enough to put onto your main device.
I guess that's a good point, huh? They're just making it better.
Right. You know, because, I mean, years past, you know, they've been jamming all the new features in. They definitely have been a bit flaky. And I found, actually, they tend to kind of get flakier as they go on until they stabilize towards the end. But you know, I was so excited. You know, it's professional. I'm a professional, right?
I've got to
do this stuff for my job. So,
photo search.
So photo search and searching music. Like, you're supposed to be able to search for lyrics now in music.
Yeah.
That I couldn't get to work. Because I was, you know, searching for some pretty obscure stuff, some Roxy Music song from the mid 70s. But, you know, the one thing I want to see happen in music search is to be able to search for a song by a band. You know, sometimes if you search for a song, it'll bring it up. Like, I don't know, like I was searching for Motorhead's version of, oh my God, what's the name of that Stone song, you know, about the devil?
You got me.
Oh my God, you know it. Everyone knows it. Sympathy for the Devil. So Sympathy for the Devil, right? I wanted the Motorhead version of it. And you still can't do that. It's crazy.
Really? That seems weird. That seems like you should be able to just type in the song name and then the band name and it would bring it up.
It brings it up. You know,
I wonder if that works in Spotify. I know lyric search doesn't work in Spotify, which is one of the reasons why I was thinking to myself, this is actually a really cool Apple Music feature. And this is something that people have been asking for Spotify for years, and they haven't added it for whatever reason. And in my mind, I never know the name of a song. I always know the lyrics or the chorus or some part of the song, but you never know the actual song name. So usually I have to go online and Google the lyrics, right? Which is an extra 3 or 4 seconds of my life that I have to use doing that, and that's not time I need to spend.
Okay, I stand corrected. It does work. Sorry. Forget everything I just said. Okay. Anyway, searching photos, that works really... That I think is really kind of remarkable, because you can search for, you know, like objects. Like, I was trying to look for a picture of my truck the other day, so I did a search for, like, van, and it brings up, you know, like, it recognizes vans. I did a search for camera, and it brought up all the pictures where, you know, I don't know about all the pictures, but it brought up a bunch of pictures with cameras in it. Like, you know, the object recognition in the photo search is really kind of amazing.
Huh.
And now they've added place names and all kinds of smart search, so it's really, really useful for bringing up pictures. I find it, you know, kind of, and, you know, it's really, really great.
I use photos all the time, so I'm always happy to see them add new features to the app. And I haven't installed the betas yet because I need to produce a podcast every week. I'm not trying to. I only have one MacBook Pro, so if it goes teats up, so to speak, there's no show that week.
Right.
And we haven't missed a show yet, so I don't install, especially on my Mac. I'm very protective of my Mac's OS. I try to keep things stable. My phone, I will probably install iOS 12, although I hear that it's still kind of janky at the moment. But I might install it on my iPad because I heard that it adds a lot of those iPhone 10 gestures on the iPad, which is super nice. Like being able to switch apps by scrolling along the bottom of the screen, that's going to be so much better than the current app switcher where you have to double tap the home button and then, you know, use your finger to scroll around. I mean, who has time for that? Not me.
Well, I quite like the current, you know, like an iOS 11, the little dock at the bottom. I think that works really, really well. But
in iOS 11, so not iOS 12.
Yeah, no. Okay. Well, at the moment in iOS 11. But I put iOS 12 on my iPad.
I was
going to
say, I'm surprised you haven't done that yet.
I was curious, you know, I got the Mac OS 10.14 beta, mainly because I want to see dark mode, because it looked really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually don't find it that easy to use. You know, maybe it's just a question of getting used to it. But stuff, you know, it's funny how much... I was laughing the other day, you know, someone said there was a picture of someone's bookshelf where they arranged all their books by the color of the book.
Uh-huh.
And someone was saying, you know, never trust someone who arranges their book by color.
But
I remember,
color.
Like, how, you know, people used to arrange their apps sometimes by color.
Uh-huh.
And I remember when I first heard about that, thinking, oh, my God, you know, what kind of a nutcase do you have to be to do that? But it's actually really quite an interesting way to do it, because I think you recognize the app by the color, right? And so if you go looking for Twitter, you know it's blue, so you go to the blue screen, right? And so at least you'll know what screen it's on. The same is true, I think, of, you know, the OS. You know, when everything's reversed, it was just not intuitive at all. It was really hard to see
where
the dock was and where the icons were and where the different menu things were. It was really kind of confusing. And maybe I'll get used to it, but I found it difficult.
So it kind of like mess with your spatial awareness. You didn't really know where things were.
Yeah.
That is an interesting point. You know, it's like most people, when they see a word spelled wrong often enough, this happens with teachers all the time, they start to spell the word wrong too, because spelling is visual. When you see the shape of a word, you know if it's spelled right or not. And so if you see it spelled incorrectly a lot, then you know you start to lose your idea, your concept of how that word should look. It's kind of the same thing. You know, you change all the color schemes, and all of a sudden you're like, where is everything?
Right.
You feel like you're in a totally different neighborhood.
Well, right. Well, you know, like I use the dock on my iMac, and Spark, which is my email client by Readle, they just changed the color of their icon. It used to be blue, and now it's red. And it's
bastards.
It's been like a week, and I still can't find it. You know, because I know whereabouts it is in the dock, but you know, I'm used to hitting something blue. Because it's red, I really have to look now to go find it if I want to bring it up.
That's funny. Okay, Lewis, what else you got for us?
Are we talking just iOS right now?
No, it could be any of the OSs. You take your pick.
All right. I confess to this on Twitter. I'm excited about the new screenshot capabilities in macOS.
Oh, that's on my list too.
I mean, come on. What do you do like 57 times a day? Take a freaking screenshot. I do it all the time.
I was wondering if that were just me. Do you use screenshots too, Leander?
Not that much. I do use them, but not that much.
I heard some, really whiny people on Twitter saying, I don't even use the screenshots. Why would they build this site? Who cares about this? I use my screenshots 100 times a day, just like you. And they haven't updated this in many moons.
Yeah, and I mean, it's basically bringing it in line with the iOS version, right? Which is awesome. And I use that all the time, too. I can't tell you how many times a day I take a screenshot of Cult of Mac, circle a typo, and send an image to some writer.
Or Leander and say, it's still here. It's still working.
What the hell happened here?
Who is this?
So, you know, again, I'm not brave enough like you. I'm not brave enough to download these betas just yet because I have work to do. But I'm very curious to see how that works in real life. And I mean, I probably do more screenshots on the Mac even than on the iPad or iPhone.
Oh, me too.
So
all the time, especially for Twitter. Psyched.
And so, again, I guess we should explain exactly what it does. It just basically allows you to mark it up, right?
Well, yeah, it works just like your phone. So you take a screenshot, and then you'll see the thumbnail show up in the lower right-hand corner of your screen, just like on the iPhone. And then if you tap it, it brings up the preview markup menu.
So, that's a tiny, tiny little thing that is going to be huge for some people, including me.
I think that feature is a great example of why this was such a good keynote. They took something tiny that maybe not even everyone uses all the time, and they really just kind of beefed it up a little bit, made it a little bit more robust, put a little bit more meat on the ribs, lets you kind of grab into it, you know, take a big old bite out of it. And I like it, you know? I'm hungry, and I'm hungry for that kind of stuff. And there were all sorts of little chunks of meat all throughout the keynote where I was like, ooh, yeah, I'd get my teeth on that. And this one was on my list, too. In fact, I had a little blurb about it, but you stole it, so I'll have to pick something else.
So
but that's
sorry.
Okay, because there are many things that I have on my list. I overcompensated because there was so much stuff on here that I knew that we would be choosing some of the same things. So my next pick is going to be automatic workout detection on the Apple Watch because I'm lazy. And how many times, the irony is like when you're going to work out, it's like, you're going out there to get some exercise, but you're still too lazy to like bring up the workouts app, start the exercise. And this is like TiVo for workouts. You just start running, you start doing whatever you're going to do. And the Apple Watch just says, hey, we noticed your heart rate is, abnormal. Did you start a run, Leander Caney, or are you just dying when you're in the keto? You're like, no, I'm just dying. Hit 911, please. And then it will go back and it will start your workout from the time that you began it. And that's a simple thing that saves you a little bit of time. It saves you a few clicks, but I'm all about saving clicks. Anything that you can do to not make me think. It all goes back to this book I read in college by Steve Krugman called Don't Make Me Think. And it was a book about web development. And I love features like that, that take away something that I had to think about before. Now you're just going to do it for me. That's great. That's my next pick. Leander, what do you got for us?
Oh, for a choice, for a feature?
Yeah, one more.
Or did you just mention the auto workout one?
I literally just mentioned that
That's
one.
That's on my list, too, by the way. And
yes.
Yesterday, I did a Is it because we're
all such huge athletic men who like stay in shape?
Exactly. I just yesterday, I even like set it on my watch, you know, like track this thing, and then I get done, and it's not, nothing happened, and I'm like, oh,
the heck,
God, did I even work out? Does my life
maybe the phone didn't know? Maybe that's your problem. Yeah,
because of his stats.
I mean, yeah, it's weird how fast you get addicted to these little things. But anyway, I didn't mean to jump in there, Leander. Right. But I'm thrilled about that one too.
Yeah, but why can't they do that for sleep tracking? You know, like auto sleep tracking.
I think it's because the Apple Watch battery is still so low that most people aren't going to benefit from that feature yet. Because when are you going to charge your Apple Watch if you don't charge it at night?
I charge it in the morning when I get to work.
Really?
Yeah, I
just take it off for a little while, charge.
I can't sleep right unless I'm wearing it, to be honest.
Really?
No, because when I wake up in the middle of the night, I want to see what time it is. I can feel it if it's not there.
Interesting. Huh. Okay.
I use Sleep Plus Plus, and like last night, it said I got, you know, like I think 24 hours of sleep or something because I was lying on the couch all day.
So very accurate.
Well, that one does it's actually kind of, you know, it kind of does kind of work, you know, it because it auto detects, you know, if you've been lying on the couch. And I think, you know, if that's the trouble though, is that like it'll sometimes conflate lying on the couch with being asleep and lump it together. But that's actually pretty, as long as you're not lying on the couch for hours before you go to bed, that one's actually quite accurate. Like in the past, you know, it has detected when I went to bed, when I got up pretty well.
Huh.
Kind of surprised. So if Sleep Plus Plus can do it, I don't know why Apple can't. So it's kind of curious for them to do that.
Do you find that you actually go and visit your sleep tracking data, and does it do anything for you? Are you getting any information out of there, out of it that is relevant, that you actually think is useful?
Well, you know, I think Lewis had a good point, you know, like with the calorie counting, you know, it sort of, it just opens your eyes to it. And like I was skeptical at first. It's like, you know, what good is a sleep tracking app? I mean, you know, but the next day you've already woken up. You know, it's too late. What good is it going to do you? But I was curious to know. It is actually kind of interesting. It tells you how much restful sleep you've got and how much, you know, you were tossing and turning. And it definitely does correlate. You know, like a couple of nights when you have a restless night. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see it there in the data. And, you know, maybe it could be more actionable. You know, like I could lay off the coffees or the stimulants or whatever, you know, before. I can see being able to use that data maybe, you know, to try to improve your sleep habits.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I think it's just like Lewis says, it's sort of interesting just to have your eyes open to what's been going on, you know, make you a little more mindful of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do like seeing that information. I don't know how actionable it actually is, but I do like to at least see that information. By the way, the new version of watchOS is the first version to omit the Apple Watch Series 0. So if you have that watch, as I do, that very slow, very slow version of the Apple Watch, it might be time to upgrade. I'm thinking I might finally upgrade to a new Apple Watch. My only question is, do I go and get a deal on a Series 3, which they're having sales on now to try to get rid of them because the new one's coming out, or do I wait for the Series 4 and pay full price for a Series 4? I really don't know. I've gone back and forth, and Costco right now is having a sale on the Series 3. You can buy a 42 millimeter for $306 or something strange like that, which is a pretty good deal on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
So I can't really decide. I don't know what features they're going to bring. I feel like they're going to have to bring something big for the Series 4 because the watch itself has remained the same for, you know, since 2014 when they launched it. So they got to do something big. Are they going to make it just have a bigger screen? Because that's a rumor that is out there.
That's the big rumor. That's the big rumor right now.
Right. And I mean, if they do that, the screen's not going to be that much bigger. It might be bezel-less, but they're not going to make the watch face itself bigger. So you're going to be gaining like a few millimeters of size. Is that really worth paying full price? I don't know. Just talking out loud here, but I do think it's time to actually get a new Apple Watch because my Series 0 is terrible. It's always been terrible. It's always been slow. I've said this on past shows. I kept waiting for it to get better. I thought they were going to put a software update out that would actually make it bearable to use, but it's always been slow. It was truly a beta product. It was never an actual finished product.
Thank God I didn't buy a gold one. I mean, people were complaining about, you know, right? You spent $10,000 on a watch and it won't run the software. But I think people who bought those weren't really worried about it. You know, it's longevity.
Did anyone actually ever buy one of those? I think Apple just gave them away. Unless you were like an oil sheik or something.
I was going to look into that. I think that's a really interesting idea. Like, who did buy them? How do they feel about them? If they're I'm going to look into that. See if I can do a story about it. But that's a really interesting, you know, question.
Oh, at least you could sell it to your jeweler and get its weight.
We could melt
gold.
It down. I mean, yeah. Probably $10,000 worth of gold in there.
The
couple of features I wanted to mention quickly that I did like.
Yeah, right.
Well, notifications. I think notifications are much, much better in iOS 12.
Oh, you group know? Notifications. That was a huge one for me.
That's great because, you know, the way they were before, in fact, it was kind of ridiculously primitive. I can't believe it took them so long to do this. Especially when, you know, Android was showing the way to go. Like, Android notifications are much, much better.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, they finally caught up. Group notifications are great. Although, you know, it says that you can... One of the things that people were really crying about was the fact that you could change their behavior in real time. Huh. Like, when one comes in, you know, you can hit... I think it's manage. Yeah. There's a little button that says manage, you know, and then it takes you into the notification screen. But I always found the notification screen to be completely baffling. Have you ever looked at it in the settings?
Yes. Yeah. They've cleaned it up a lot in iOS 12.
Well, I don't know if they have. I mean, I was just looking at it just now, and, you know, it asks you to choose between, you know, banners and here, where is it now? I've completely lost it.
It's red.
I think the illustrations, though, in iOS 12 are much clearer than iOS 11. I mean, a lot of those options are still there, but in iOS 11... They aren't organized as well. They don't have as nice of illustrations in iOS 11. They look much better. At least I thought in iOS 12.
Yeah. Right. So I'm looking at it now, and you know, actually, I guess it's not that confusing. But you know, you can choose between lock screen, notifications, and banners, if they're temporary or if they're persistent. You know, like have you ever played around with these, all the different settings?
Oh yeah, I go through. I mean, I don't do it often. It's kind of one of those things that you do when you first set up your phone, and then you leave it alone. But some apps will start sending me too many notifications, and then I'll start to notice, I'll start getting annoyed, and then I go in there and I'll adjust the notifications, you know, appropriately. By the way, in the Screen Time app, it will show you which apps are sending you the most notifications. Isn't that useful, Leander?
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I take that back. I mean, I'm probably a bit dismissive. I probably, you know, like Lewis, I mean, as soon as Lewis explained, you know, that it makes it a little more mindful, I think he's totally right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, you know, I'm really gonna use it and check it out.
He changes tune. Good job, Lewis.
I think he's right.
I'm a tune changer.
Back to you for definitely.
The thing I'm most excited about, when you know people were rolling their eyes when they were talking about this, but the Arial, the space screensavers and the app on the TV OS.
Me too.
Oh man, I love that stuff. You know, I spend more time watching those things than I do watching TV.
Who rolled their eyes?
Well, there was a lot of eye rolling on Twitter. Like, you know, why is this in the keynote? This Reno, is that really what they want to highlight? Is that really one of the biggest features?
Huh.
There was a lot of complaining about that afterwards.
And not only that, Leander, but you can now scroll through the aerials with the trackpad on the remote. So you can go to ones that, so if you get to one that you don't like, I don't know why you would not like one, but I have some of my own favorites, right?
Yeah,
and sometimes
the
Apple TV will keep playing the ones I don't like as much throughout the day.
Yeah.
And so now you can scroll through them. That's handy.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah. Well, they're astonishingly beautiful. The one thing I didn't like was the fact that they'll tell you where it is now, which I always liked the challenge of trying to figure out where it
was. Come on.
Yeah, that was all part of the fun.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I think that's happened to me too, where you see a city enough times that you start trying to figure out where it actually is, and you're like, okay, I see a Tim Hortons there. Is that like Canada or something? And it's like, okay, no. Oh, it must be Dubai. Look at all those nice buildings.
Yeah, yeah.
We've done that same thing.
Well, the Dubai ones, you know, like I wasn't familiar with Dubai, so that when those first came on, like I was like, where the hell is that? That doesn't even look real.
Right.
You know, like, and it was, I like the challenge of like trying to figure out where it was, you know, by looking for little clues or looking for sort of, you know, unusual buildings, and then like a couple of times I searched, you know, I did a Google image search for Dubai, and I was sitting there with my computer or my phone, and I'm looking at the screensaver, and I'm like, is that building, you know? Great. Oh, yeah, there it is. You know, that's where it is. And it was like, I really enjoyed doing that.
This was when you were doing your second book, or?
Right. I know. This is how I spend my time. But I sat there with, you know, my wife and kids, and we've been sitting there just watching the screensavers. We'll sit there and watch it for like 20, 30 minutes, you know, because they're so beautiful. They're so mesmeric.
I love the ones from space, too. I just like space, period. I've always been fascinated with space, as many people are. And to have the aerial view of the Earth, it was so beautiful. And they have the night mode where you can see all the different light layouts for the different countries. I thought that was really beautiful. I'm looking forward to
looking
at that one. And I do sit there and space out too. There's been far many too many times where I was trying to watch something on my Apple TV only to realize I've been sitting here for 30 minutes just staring at the screensaver, and all of a sudden it's just all my time is gone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's they are.
Doesn't it have a screensaver app? That'd be a great idea for an app, wouldn't it? You know, just screensavers on the TV OS.
There are some of those out there, but the problem is they don't automatically go to those screensavers. You have to activate them in the app, you know.
Why not though? I mean, I wouldn't mind sitting, you know, instead of watching, because how many times do you have to sit through and you want to watch something, you come up with anything you want to watch?
Yeah.
You know, like channel flipping, right? You know, yeah. I'm still channel flipping. I'd rather sit there and watch some screensavers than channel flip.
Oh, well, there's lots of screensaver apps on the App Store.
We should do a roundup then. I'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah, at least the word the last time I checked, which was, I don't know, when did the Apple TV come out? And then I was like, okay, the App Store is dead. I'm never going to check this again. Okay, let's start to wrap these up here. Does anyone have any burning ones I got to give some mentions. I got a couple ones, and then Lewis, if you want to pitch a couple more or something, we can wrap up. So favicons, finally, we're getting favicons in Safari in both iOS 12 and on Mac OS. I don't know why it took Apple this long to implement favicons. By the way, favicons are those little icons that show up in your tabs in your web browser. Chrome has supported them forever, and for whatever reason, Safari still doesn't support them. Well, they're a great visual aid when you're looking at your tabs to see exactly which websites you have open. And actually, one of the reasons I stopped using Safari, I use Safari now, but a while ago I stopped and I started using Chrome again, was because it didn't support the gosh darn favicons. So we're finally getting those. One of the other features I thought looked really useful is desktop stacks. This feature allows the OS to group all of your alike icons together, and then if you want to expand them, you just click on a stack and they will expand and you can see what's inside of them. It's great because it's like the usefulness of a folder, but instead of having to double click to get into a folder and then see what's there, you just single click and then it expands everything right there so you can see exactly what's in your stack. This is probably going to be a feature that allows me to see my desktop for the first time in like 10 years. My desktop is littered with icons. I'm embarrassed to admit that, but when you're in production, I constantly have files that I'm working with all over the place. And, you know, I'm trying to get the show out. I have files laying all over the place. I finally get the show released, and then I don't really ever go back and clean up my room, so to speak. I never make my bed. I don't make my bed either. So if you don't like to make your bed, you probably have a messy desktop too. This is going to be like someone that comes in and makes your bed for you. Isn't that great? It's like you just get up, you go to the bathroom, and you come back into the bedroom, and it's like, oh, the bed's made. Sweet. That's what desktop stacks is going to do for you. So I think it's going to be a feature that I use all the time. Lewis, do you want to wrap us up here? Any other features that you need to mention before we wrap it up?
Well, I can't believe that we haven't even mentioned Memojis. Oh. I mean, I'm not saying this is like something that is awesome, but it is kind of cool. And it's definitely something that, you know, with the new... people love emojis, right? So everybody's going to be going into those, I swear to God.
And literally every person's Twitter avatar for the next 3 months is going to be, until September when they release iOS 12, is going to be a Memoji.
Yeah, and if people didn't see what that is, it's just basically you can go in and customize an emoji and, you know, make it look like you or not like you or however you want. And they also have a couple of new Animoji things, which and tongue detection, right?
Oh, my daughter's going to go crazy over that one.
Miley
not only tongue
Cyrus
detection,
is,
but... wink detection.
Right. Yeah, which I guess they didn't actually talk about that on the...
No, actually, that was one of the notes on our secret features, which we'll talk about again next week.
So, you know, personally, I'm not that excited about those things, but they look cool. One thing I am excited about is the Home app coming to Mac. You know, we've talked about it before. Why didn't it exist already? Why is it possible to do something in the Home app on an iPad that you ask Siri on your Mac to do the same thing, and it's like, no, sorry, I can't do it. Why? Why can that be? I to this day, I don't know why that was the case, but they're going to make it happen. That's cool. I'm also, I got to say, kind of excited about the news app revamp for the iPad. It looks like it's going to be better. I use that thing a little bit, but one thing that sort of stops me from using it is that it's just kind of weird. It's kind of hard to find what you're looking for, and you know, I'm inevitably shown a bunch of crap from People magazine and other things I don't like. And
that's my Bible. How dare you?
Good Lord. I saw something on there today. I just like I can't even believe that this exists.
I can't either, really. How does it still exist? Supermarket checkout aisles. That's how it still exists.
Yeah. And they're bringing the news app to the Mac as well. I don't know. For me personally, I don't think that's probably something I'm going to use. I already get so much freaking news from my Mac, but you know, it's kind of cool. It's all part of the sort of bringing iOS apps into the Mac world that they're working on. These are the first steps, right? So it'll be interesting to see how those work.
Leander, final feature of the show. You got anything else?
Excuse me. No, that was about it.
You're like, only a fever of 103. Let's wrap this up.
I tried to make a Memoji.
Yeah.
It was bewildering, all the different choices you had to make.
You got to send me a picture of it. Did you get it made?
It didn't look anything like me. It looked like a, you know, Lego guy. And I don't know how much, you know, how long I want to spend piddling around with it, because there's so many choices and different, you know, different things you can do to tweak it. But anyway, the privacy stuff I think is interesting. You know, the way that they're taking, you know, there was a lot of shade they threw at Facebook and Google, but Facebook especially during the keynote. And if you look at on the website as well, all the preview stuff, you know, trying to stop Facebook tracking you across the net,
right?
With the tracking buttons and the comment system. I think it's really interesting that they're doing that. You know, trying to look out for. It's a little bit heavy-handed. I mean, especially because we're in the publishing industry, and we've talked about this before. You know, like, we rely on advertising on the website, and the advertising model is, you know, one of, well, you know, it tries to capture you, you know, when you're in market to buy something, right? Which is why you keep on seeing, you know, if you start researching shoes, why you keep, you know, see ads for shoes everywhere you go, because they want to grab you while you're, you know, because they assume you're still thinking about buying something, and they want to get you while, you know, before you make the purchase, or they want to influence that purchase. You know, so we're in the business of that. We run advertising, but you know, I've always been a little bit ambivalent about it. I think it's, on the whole, my personal opinion is that it's mostly harmless, but I can see how people are freaked out about it, and people really do hate it. And I wonder whether Apple should really be in the business of, you know, being kind of heavy-handed about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's a debate. I think you know, it's not overall, it's not a bad thing. And it's interesting how they're taking that on. You know, there was a lot of people talk about, you know, the main rivalries between Google and Apple, but I think Apple's really taken on Facebook these days.
I like the privacy features. I like feeling like Apple is on my side. They're giving a big old thumbs up to the NSA, the FBI, everyone that wants to spy on us and take all our data and use it nefariously. And it makes me feel good that at least I know that Tim Cook is trying to do whatever he can to keep my data protected, especially your data, Leander, because if anyone saw your data, there'd definitely be a lawsuit for sure.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
No one would want to look at your data.
You know, I think Apple's tracking you when you go in the news app. I mean, they're serving up ads through news, and they're definitely looking at what you're watching there. So they're a little bit hypocritical about this.
That's an interesting point. I don't use the news app, though. I never really found it to be that useful. I might, though, once it comes to the Mac, unlike you, Lewis. I think I actually might use it more when it comes to the Mac, because that's primarily where I go to get my news. Uh-huh. I just like the keyboard. I want to have a keyboard there in case I need to share anything or tweet something. And now I'll have the new screenshots app. So, you know, my Twitter feed is just going to be off the chain with great, witty news commentary, funny tweets. It's going to be a whole new me. You guys are really going to love it once I get iOS 12 installed. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap the show up there, Leander, because we've already gone long. We got to leave something for next week. So that's all the cool casts we have for you guys this week. But hey, you know what? If you want to come tell us about your favorite features, the stuff that you loved in the WWDC announcement, we're all on Twitter. We would love to hear from you. I'm at Airfon. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. Leander is at L. Caney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Definitely ready for a vacation.
Are you going on vacation sometime soon?
Yeah.
Can I come? Where are we going, Lewis?
We're going to Portugal. Let's go.
I'm with you.
okay. Yes.
Hello,
Leander.
Leander's dying, Lewis. You'll soon be...
at death's door.
Yeah, I feel awful.
You don't sound too bad.
Well, yeah, it's weird. It's, you know, like I've got a little bit of sniffles. I've sneezed and blown my nose. Got a bit of a cough, but not much. But it's just like, you know, that kind of... You know how you got no energy and
and
your body hurts? Like my joints hurt? I just walked to Gus's and I could barely get up the stairs coming back. And it's about 100 yards.
You should have stopped and taken a nap halfway up.
Well, I was really tempted to.